दैवी प्रीत्येत मानुषे यत्र यत्रानुकीर्त्येत तत्ते शंसु कृतं विधु क्रियमाने कर्मानीदम् दैवे प्रीत्येत मानुषे यत्र यत्रानुकीर्त्येत तत्ते शंसु कृतं विधु प्लीज चैंट upon the performance karmani of a ritualistic ceremony idam this description of the characteristics of Vamanadev daive to please the demigods pitriye or to please the forefathers as in a Shraddha ceremony. Atha, either, manuse, for the pleasure of human society, as in marriages. Yatra, wherever. Yatra, whenever. Anukirtieta is described. Tat, that. Tesham, for them, sukritam, auspicious, bidhu, everyone should understand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whenever the activities of Vamanadev are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony is performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitriloka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. Purport. There are three kinds of ceremonies, specifically ceremonies to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the demigods, those performed for social celebrations like marriages and birthdays, and those meant to please the forefathers, like the Shraddha ceremony. In all this ceremony, large amounts of money are spent for various activities. But here it is suggested that if, along with this, there is recitation of the wonderful activities of Vamanadeva, certainly the ceremony will be carried out successfully and will be free of all discrepancies. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasavutale Shimate Romapaswami Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasavutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyade Pancha kalpa taruvyasya kripa sindu vyevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So, I forgot to read. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planet. So this is the very conclusion of this most wonderful adventure that started with the churning of the ocean of milk and concluded with Lord Vamanadeva giving his full mercy to Bali Maharaj and actually everybody present, including demons. Remember, the whole thing started with this big tug of war or conflict between the demons and the demigods. There was a power struggle. And the fact is that the demons were led by the powerful Bali Maharaj. And they were attacking the heavenly planets and they were beating the demigods. And the demigods, in great trouble, they went to Krishna. If we remember the pastime, they went to Krishna, to Lord Vishnu, to ask help. What should we do? These demons are too powerful. They're actually defeating us. So the Lord gave this whole strategy that you work in cooperation with them, but you have to give them, you know, some. So the Lord set up this whole strategy to trick the demons. You have to give them something to entice them, because they won't accept to work with you, with all of you, just for the sake of cooperation, and you know, they have the upper hand right now. So you have to convince them that if you work in cooperation with us, you'll be even in a better position, in a better situation. So what was the thing that enticed them? The idea they could be immortal. They could receive this most amazing substance that will allow them to have, you know, unlimited strength and become basically, you know, it would, the strength will be so powerful that the lifespans become so long. That is basically saying that they become immortal. So this actually, we're interested. So what's your suggestion? Well, the way to get that substance is that we have to churn the ocean of milk. But this churning of the ocean of milk is not just a simple thing that, you know, either you or us can do. It requires the strength of all the most powerful living entities in the whole universe. And then the only way we can do it is we can do it together. And the demons, okay, they accept it. So the demons have their plan. They say, yeah, these weaklings, we accept it, but our plan at the end is that we snatch it for ourselves. Lord Vishnu, explaining to the demigods, he knew was the mentality of the demons, so he was very preemptive. So he had the demigods already aligned, understanding what the demons will do. He was always ahead. And he had the demigods always ahead, understanding the mentality of the demons. He explained to the demigods, you should not be anxious. Just trust him, Lord Vishnu. Just follow by the letter, the instructions that Lord Vishnu gave. And then, although it may appear, you know, that they're losing control, the whole thing is being... Krishna is under control, the whole thing. So he have the whole thing on control. So we know the story. They got the Soma Ras. The demons following their plan, they snatch it immediately. And the demigods were a little antsy, but you know, they remember the instruction of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu appears as Mohini Murti, snatch, you know, trick them to give the Soma Ras back to him, and to her, and she distributed the whole Soma Ras to the demigods and nothing to the demons. The demigods became very powerful and then were able to defeat Bali Maharaj and the whole Daityas, the whole all the demons. So then Bali Maharaj was resuscitated by Sukracharya along with all the generals that were there, and through the performance of these sacrifices that were performed by the Brahmanas headed by Sukracharya, Bali Maharaj and the demons became unlimitedly powerful. Actually, the strength that they have was derived from spiritual potency. So it was not ordinary. They actually became imbued is the right word? Yeah, by spiritual potency. Which is quite a surprising thing, because we're talking about demons, but we're also talking about this great personality, Bali Maharaj. And we're talking about a powerful Brahmana, Sukracharya and company. So now the conclusions, you know, we heard throughout the last couple of months the adventures and the pastimes of Lord Vamanadev, how he regained the kingdom of heaven. So took back the kingdom of heaven from Bali Maharaj and gave it back to Indra and the demigods. But in the process, he bestowed his full mercy to Bali Maharaj. He pleased Aditi and also fulfilled the desire of Aditi, that, you know, a confidential devotee of the Lord. In this case, you know, the mother of Lord Vamanadev. He pleased the demigods by establishing again, by providing again all the facilities that they require for their service. And also through the whole pastimes, all the way to this conclusion, the demigods could understand that their protector and their lord is Lord Vamanadev or Lord Vishnu. The demons also were taking care, as well as Sukracharya. So, is a, you know, the whole conclusion is a very happy conclusion. Everybody was taking care. There was not a loser in this. In this whole adventure, this whole Leela. So, this particular verse, the conclusion is now Srila Sukadev Goswami is speaking, and he's explaining his appreciation for for the teachings of this beautiful pastime that Lord Vishnu performed as Lord Vamanadev. And one of the things that he said right now, he's saying that in these two verses, that get back here, that if one simply hears, it's so powerful that just simply by hearing the pastimes, this narration of the pastimes of Lord Vamanadev, simply by hearing, regardless of your consciousness, regardless of the interest that you may have, simply if you're exposed to these narrations, and then you can certainly be elevated to the higher planetary systems. Or if you are fortunate enough to hear it with a devotional heart, you can be taken home back to Godhead. In other words, it will bestow upon us the most confidential knowledge, or the most confidential position of becoming, a devotee of Krishna with pure devotion. And Srila Shukadev Goswami goes on to say that, because remember that the whole context in which Lord Vamanadev bestowing the full mercy on everybody, and starting with Bali Maharaj, was in the context of sacrifices. And the essence of the whole thing, or the discussion, the things that were to be understood, is who is the enjoyer and who is the for whom these sacrifices should be given to. What is the purpose of sacrifice but to satisfy Lord Vishnu? This was the essence of the whole pastimes of Lord Vamanadev. And it was very graphically illustrated by the position, the fixed position of Bali Maharaj to fulfill that purpose, to please Lord Vishnu as the beneficiary of all sacrifices, the Bhaktaran Yajna Tapasam. And opposed to the position of Shuka Acharya, who was simply looking for the material result, or a particular result for the performance of the sacrifice. So that contrast was the essence of, in which the pastime took place. So Sukadev Goswami here is saying that if one simply remembers, if one narrates while in the performance of any sacrifice these pastimes of Lord Vamanadev, then the ceremony will be completely auspicious. And when we talk about the auspiciousness of the ceremony, means that that there will be no discrepancies. Now remember that we just heard Lord Vamanadev questioning Shuka Acharya, what discrepancy was there? You curse him, and you were very upset at your disciple Bali Maharaj. So what discrepancy was in the, that you became so upset? So it was Lord Vamanadev was putting him, Shukacharya, in the spot to actually allow him to connect, to understand what was his fault. That actually Bali Maharaj was faultless. And Shukracharya was able to say it to the credit of Shukracharya. He was able to say it. There was no discrepancy. He did what he's supposed to do. So he recognized that the discrepancy was on himself. And he accepted and recognized Lord Vamanadev as the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices. So, to remember these activities of the Lord, to glorify the Lord, frees any type of sacrifice from discrepancies. The discrepancy, what does discrepancies do in the performance of sacrifice? That it will deviate the actual purpose of the sacrifice. The actual purpose of the sacrifice is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. The actual purpose of the sacrifice is to elevate ourselves, to connect with the most confidential activity that any human person can actually perform, which is an activity of devotion to the personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the most confidential knowledge, it is explained, Prabhupada explains that the most confidential verse of the Bhagavad Gita is the last verse of the ninth chapter. Man mana baba mat bhakto mat jajiva namaskuru man evaisya yuktaivan atmanam mat parayana. So that the transcendental mana, always think on me, your mind fully absorbed in me. Mad bhakto, become my devotee. Mad yaji, worship me. Namas kuru, offer obeisances unto me. And when we are completely absorbed in these activities, then we surely come back to him. So, specifically, the mat yaji, this word yaji, comes from the word yagya. So, Prabhupada translates as worship me. Krishna is asking us to worship him. But the same root of yajim is the same root for yagya, sacrifice. So, the performance of sacrifice, and it's a, you know, there is also, the acharyas explain that Krishna gave these four different levels that one should actually strive for. The highest is that your mind is always fully absorbing Krishna. That there's nothing else there but Krishna. He's telling this to Arjuna. But the position of the mind to be 100% absorbing Krishna is not an easy thing. It's a very elevated position. So if you cannot do that, then Arjuna, become my devotee. Become my devotee, because by the expressions of devotion, by being engaged in this loving devotional service, then in one sense one has to, the whole purpose, because devotion is defined as the motivation is out, the interruptions is out. So it's this principle of ahaitukiya pratiyata, that the activity have to do with the heart, with love. So it's also very elevated. But if you cannot do that, then whatever sacrifice you made, whatever austerity you perform, you do that as an offering to Krishna. And that is something that that is very much that most of us can be able to, you know, at least focus on that part. On whatever we do, and Krishna explains that, you know, also in some of the verses there, that the sacrifices and the austerities, what the activities that we do, are performed for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And that in itself becomes the cure or the medicine from whatever is blocking us from going to the higher stages of devotional service. So the discrepancies that may be there, you know, and when we talk about discrepancies, it means when there's a material motivation for the performance of our sacrifice, or for the performance of our devotional service, the performance of a sadhana. In the beginning of our devotional service, our devotional service is mixed with material motivations. There are motivations, and then the process of sadhana bhakti is to eliminate those motivations, to eliminate whatever is there that is blocking, you know, the pure flow, or the flow of devotion to Krishna. It is there. You know, when we talk about mix, it is there in each one of us. That's why we're here. Devotion is there. But devotion is being blocked. The natural flow of that devotion is blocked by these different desires or motivations that we may have. So the process in itself of trying to please Krishna, of the focus of, not actually, it's better say not trying, but it is what we're supposed to do in activities, trying to please Krishna with the resolve of activities. And that will eliminate all discrepancies. There is there's very nice stories in terms that also illustrate, you know, the how either too attached for results, you know, it is explained that like, say, we're talking in this context, Srila Shukadev Goswami is explaining about Vedic culture, that there are sacrifices to be performed. So there is a marriage sacrifices, and there's all kinds of, they call samskaras. So there's all kinds of samskaras that one have to perform. These are all sacrifices that are part of just regular life. So birthdays, marriages, you know, the different things that you do for the children. These are all social sacrifices, you know, and involve family members, involve friends, involve, you know, well-wishers. And then there's usually devotees or people spend lavishly, Especially you see that in marriages, you know, there's so much expenditure for the whole sacrifice. And in general, these things are done for the purpose of some material gain. Basically, three quarters of the Vedas are focused on this, it's called the Karma Kanda, meaning that there's a fruitive, it's a direction of how to achieve your fruitive desires. And most of them, when they get into a very educated and culture individuals, they're looking for elevating to the heavenly planets. Why? Because there's in the heavenly planets you can have a much better facility for enjoying life. So there's all this result-oriented, material result-oriented thing. So when you are too attached to that, Krishna discouraged Arjuna. Actually, become detached from all these flowery words, these things, enticing things that are in the Vedas. You know, actually abandon all those things and just embrace the param, the principle of religion that is the highest principle, that is just simply serve Krishna, simply accept him. And there are two stories that I can do very quickly, and then we stop for questions. There's a story of a brahmana that very sincere and also a dedicated brahmana that it was, but he was very attached to the rituals and to the Vedic, you know, the Vedic rituals and the mantras and, you know, basically the whole jnana part. He was very attached to this thing. And he will perform his worship of the deities very carefully, you know, saying all the different mantras and all the different rituals and all the different hand posture, everything perfectly, according to the instructions of the Vedas. Was very, very meticulous about it. But one time he had to travel, so he engaged his son, young son, to perform the worship of the deity while he was away. The boy was a very well-trained boy, but he didn't know all the mantras. He was still very young. He was not still prepared. So it came to the part of the boy bringing the offering to the deities. So the boy brings the offering to the deities, very pure-hearted boy, and he offered the plate, and then when it comes to say the mantras and say and perform all the rituals to actually invite the Lord to take the prasadam, he realized, oh, I can remember the mantra. My father didn't instruct me, you know, in this particular mantra. So he just prayed to the Lord, my dear Lord, please forgive me. I don't know the mantra, but kindly take. And then, so he sat there, and then he opens his eyes and see that the food was still there. So he's starting to worry and say, oh, my dear Lord, please don't be offended. I don't know the mantra, but you have to eat. Don't take it seriously. Please eat. So he waited, and then he noticed the food's still there. The Lord is not eating. So he was now in tremendous anxiety because, oh my God, Lord, he's not eating because of me. Because I don't know the mantras, you're not eating. So you know, he felt very bad, so he keeps pleading, and the food's still there. So he decided, he said, okay, so because of me, now you're not eating, you can eat, so I won't eat either. So, you know, so if you don't eat, then I won't eat. So then, still not there, so he said, well, he decided, okay, I'm just going to fast, go to bed right now, because you're not eating. And then as he's about to leave, then Krishna couldn't resist anymore, so he jumped out of the altar and said, no, I will eat. So he started to eat the food, the deity. And then the boy was very happy and very grateful. And with such a happy heart, he comes with an empty plate and then give it to the mother. And the mother say, what happened to the food, to the prasadam? And he say, the Lord ate it so happily. And then the mother, well, how is that possible? And say, yeah, I pleaded with him and he ate it. And then she was, okay, so I guess we have no food. Then we have to go hungry to bed because all the food is gone. So they went to bed. They didn't eat. Next day, the brahmana arrives. And then the wife told him that, you know, we have to go hungry. Last night we didn't eat because the boy said that Krishna took all the prasadam, all the offering. And then he said, well, how's that possible? That is not possible. Maybe an animal went in there without, you know, and took the food, something. He's starting to try to explain it, you know. So he questioned the boy. Did an animal went in? How that? No. Krishna took it. So he said, Krishna took it. Yeah, so anyway, the father, you know, he was a loving father and he was a very nice brahmana. So he said, okay, do the offering tonight. So he hid behind the curtain, you know, waiting to see. And then the boy, same thing. My Lord, just like yesterday, please take your prasad. Just take your offering, your food. And then Krishna goes, I can't take it. Your father is hidden behind the curtain. And I won't take that. And say, my father is hidden behind the curtain. What is he doing there? He's trying to test you. He's trying to see me. And then he said, go and touch him. And then come back. So then the boy went behind the curtain. As soon as he touched the father, he was able to transmit that faith. And just by that touch, the father then looked at the altar and there was Krishna eating. So it's a beautiful story. It's, I think, appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or in the past tense of Lord Chaitanya, I can't remember. But the principle is that where your heart, where our heart is when actually we're offering, or we're doing all these rituals, we're doing all these sacrifices, we're doing whatever we do, that is actually to please the deities, to please Krishna, to please Shishi Kishore Kishori. And that's the auspiciousness. That's what removes all discrepancies in our heart. Any comments or questions for the next 10 minutes? Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that story, your whole class, but that story was nice at the end. I have to find it, but you don't know where it is at. I just have an appreciation commentary, more like appreciation of this verse. One thing I've noticed is that the common thing at all ceremonies, it doesn't matter birthdays, marriages, is prasadam. And you were mentioning that pastime. And the lesson I got from this is that if we feasted on prasadam, there's a little feedback. If we feasted on prasadam, but haven't feasted on Harikata, then we haven't really feasted. And the one, because generally speaking, everyone knows that prasadam is mandatory. Even though they make the night process of devotional service, there's many scriptural injunctions that says bona fide process. But a lot of times we think that feeding our consciences with Hare Katha may not be so mandatory because it's subtle. You can't really directly see the gross manifestation of it, of us being malnourished. And so one criteria, last point, is one criteria that I really appreciate that changed my perspective. I mentioned it many times before, something Gokulananda said. He made the point that we know whether or not we're feeding our consciousness properly. He says that generally speaking, if you ask someone, do you have any commentaries, appreciations, you know, anything about the Bhagavatam? Generally speaking, it's no. But if you ask anybody if there's some controversy, do you have any commentary, appreciation, or criticism of the latest gossip? Then it's like, yes. And so that's one thing I've noticed in my own conscience. Everyone can criticize for themselves, but I realized that I noticed that in my own conscience, I never liked coming to Bhagavatam class, but there was some controversy that I would, you know, comment on that. So that's one just point I appreciate, that everyone can judge their own conscience. You don't have to wait for somebody to criticize, and we shouldn't wonder why the Lord hasn't given us the ability to tolerate or any good qualities if we only have concern about the latest gossip. So that's just all I have to say about that point. So, all
right. Yeah, one thing that I can just comment on that too is just to add that the sacrifice or the sacrifice that is recommended in this age is Sankirtan Yajna. Why? Because there is no qualified Brahmanas to do, and when I say qualified Brahmanas, it means, you know, all these Vedic, the complexity of Vedic rituals and mantras is a very difficult thing to achieve in Kali Yuga. To the point that it is said that is, you know, don't go there, just chant Hare Krishna. So in general, all the different functions that we do, to the sometimes like, horror is not, you know, it's too strong, but to the surprise of our Indian congregations that are attached to see the, you know, these rituals with all the pompous thing, when we just chant Hare Krishna, you know, is always a little, but at the end, that is the prescribed sacrifice for this age. So that's what makes it fully auspicious. Within the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, everything is there. You know, the pastimes of Lord Vamanadev are there, the pastimes of Lord Narsingadev, everything is there contained in these 16 words, you know, arranged as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that's what we do. So when we perform Shraddha ceremony, we do a fire sacrifice, and in the fire sacrifice, we offer oblations to the Parampara and all the way to Krishna, and then we do offer oblations to Krishna himself, and then with what we do at the end of the whole thing, we chant Hare Krishna, and after chanting Hare Krishna, we distribute prasadam. And in marriage ceremonies, okay, they do all the thing, the hands, the tying, the thing, and then what you hear, chanting Hare Krishna, and then giving prasadam. So, you know, these are things that are there in our culture. One more question. Yes, Prabhu. Actually, do it with the microphone, because so the devotees like can hear downstairs.
Just a comment that you're talking about, you know, the value of just chanting Hare Krishna. And one time, one of Prabhupada's disciples and Srila Prabhupada were standing in front of the altar, and there was always big competition to be the one that can please Srila Prabhupada the most. So this one particular disciple, he turned to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, tell me in particular," this devotee said, "tell me everything we need to know about deity worship." And Srila Prabhupada turned to him and said, "If I told you everything, you would faint." So really that's our position. So what you're saying is so nice, that, you know, we have to put all our attention on the power of the Maha Mantra, the chanting of Hare Krishna, The minute I start to think, oh, I can be better than this other devotee because I know some more special rituals that I've learned about, then I'm defeating the whole purpose right. to the process.
Right.
Thank you. Nice class.
There's a whole pastime of the brahmanas that are performing this sacrifice, and Krishna and Balaram sending the cowherd boy. Remember, everybody remembers that. It's such a great pastime that Krishna is telling the cowherd boys. They so attached to their fruitive stuff and their mantras and the whole thing that they cannot chant the names Krishna Balaram. They put, you know, no. That's more important is all these things. So don't tell them that it's for me because they don't relate to Krishna and Balaram. And then, you know, it shows that decline, go away. To the cowherd boys, and they now go and ask the wives. They were great devotees, and they immediately, Krishna Balaram, oh, Krishna Balaram, yes, you know. So we have to always be attentive to, like, what are we doing? Well, we're pleasing Kishore Kishori, we're pleasing Gornitai, we're pleasing Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani, we're pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Pleasing the devotees. That's the purpose of it. That's what we're here. That's what we want. That's who we are. That's our identity. So we have to embrace it more and more. The discrepancies will go away just simply by concentrating on that. That's the message. I stop here. If I'm right with everybody. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.